Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Dhamma, Hare Dhamma, Dhamma Dhamma, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Namo, Hare
Namo, if you could bring
my white bag. Rama.
Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Oh, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Please chant prayerfully. Become filled with spiritual desires. And remember, Giriraj is just over there.
Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Dhamma, Hare Dhamma, Dhamma Dhamma, Hare Hare.
Everyone chant.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Once, perhaps in 1968, at 26 2nd Avenue, Rukmini Devi Dasi, who is sitting over here, asked Srila Prabhupada a question after Prabhupada's lecture. She asked Prabhupada how Lord Chaitanya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, exhibited the opulence of wealth, because Bhagavan is Sad Aishwarya Purna. He possesses all opulence. That is the meaning of Bhagavan. So she asked Prabhupada that question at 26 2nd Avenue, and Srila Prabhupada answered. And he said that Mahaprabhu came to exhibit not the opulence of wealth so much, but the opulence of renunciation. He was such a perfect sannyasi. Let me put up the harmonium a little bit, please. And that was the end of his answer on that night. But Prabhupada thought about it. He thought about it, and the next morning he continued answering that same question, and he explained that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he traveled to East Bengal, which is now Bangladesh, and there he was given so much opulence, and he brought all that opulence, uncountable opulence, back to his home in Navadvip. So that pastime that Srila Prabhupada mentioned, where Mahaprabhu went to East Bengal, Bangladesh, is mentioned in Chaitanya Bhagavat. And I would like to read that pastime, which is chapter 14 of the Adi Lila. This is before Mahaprabhu took sannyas. I would like to read that pastime, and we'll hear what Mahaprabhu did in Bangladesh, in East Bengal. But I want to warn you of something. There is some unhappiness in this pastime. And the chapter ends quite abruptly. But with the ending of every chapter, there is always a new chapter that's beginning. So the new chapter following this chapter, which we won't read, is a happier chapter. It is a very happy, happy chapter, but we're not going to read it. So don't be too sad at the sad ending of this, because at this chapter's end, Mahaprabhu deals in a very, very simple and abrupt way, in one sense, with the passing away of his first wife, Lakshmi Devi. And in the next chapter, Mahaprabhu, in a very in a wonderful ceremony filled with much happiness and pomp, he actually marries Vishnupriya Devi. But then later, at the end of Adilila, Mahaprabhu takes sannyas and Vishnu. Anyway, that is not the pastime we're going to mention today, because everyone will be full of tears if we speak about Mahaprabhu's taking sannyas. But today, he will travel to East Bengal. Please listen carefully. All glory to the Supreme Lord, Sri Gaurasunda. All glories to the beloved of Nityananda, who has an eternal form. All glories to he who is the life of Sri Pradyumna Misra. All glories to he who is the goal of life for Paramananda Puri. All glories to he who is the life and soul of all Vaishnavas. O Lord, please deliver the fallen souls with your merciful glance. My dear brothers and sisters, Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur speaking, please hear with attention the topics of Adikanda. This is the pastimes of Mahaprabhu before he actually starts exhibiting his Vaishnava qualities. Where in the pastimes of Krishna in the form of a Brahmana are described. The Lord enjoyed his scholastic pastimes with his students throughout all the villages of Navadvip. Everyone throughout Navadvip heard that Nimai Pandit was the crest jewel amongst all teachers, although he was just barely 16 years old at this time. Even the wealthy materialists would get down from their palanquins to offer respects to Nimai Pandit, for everyone viewed him with awe and reverence, and no one in Navadvip was free from his control. Whenever any resident of Navadvip would perform any pious act, perform any ritualistic pious ceremony, he would without fail first send food and cloth to the house of Nimai Pandit. And the Lord displayed the pastimes of a munificent, a very generous person. For this is the nature of the Supreme Lord. Whenever Gaura Hari met a poor person, he would immediately give him rice, cloth, and money out of his compassion. Guests would daily visit the Lord's house, and he would always properly satisfy every one of them. Sometimes 10 or 20 sannyasis would come, and the Lord would happily invite them all for lunch. He would immediately send someone to inform his mother to quickly arrange lunch for the 20 sannyasis. But at times, no rice was within the Lord's house for Sachi Devi to use to cook. Mother Sachi would wonder, how will I prepare meals for 20 sannyasis? And as soon as she thought in this way, someone would come and deliver the necessary ingredients. And Lakshmi Devi would cook the offerings with full satisfaction. Now, I will tell you another secret, that we may tend to think, oh, this is a very nice story, just to increase our faith that Krishna is going to take care of us. But anyone who has preached and taken risks on behalf of Srila Prabhupada, on behalf of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has experienced the Lord's kind protection in this regard. Once, when Jagatarini Devi and I were in Hong Kong, and we were just baby devotees, really just baby devotees, but Prabhupada had sent us there. And we were trying to establish a temple, and we were living in a guest house. And at this time, there was an apartment that we thought of getting. And this is a true story. There was an apartment we thought of getting, and I had collected perhaps $200 at that time. And I placed that money as a deposit for the apartment. But then, as fate has it, the apartment became stuck. We couldn't live in the apartment, and we couldn't use the $250 that we had collected, US dollars at that time. And at that time, I remember that we had six Hong Kong dollars, which is was worth at that time less than one US dollar. And but Jagatarini Devi remembers that we had zero Hong Kong dollars. But either way, we didn't know anything, but we were trying sincerely to serve, but we had nothing, literally nothing. And it was quite miraculous, actually. Every day, every single day, someone would come and say, "Here, would you like some food? Here's some food. Or here's some vegetables." And someone would come and pay the rent, and we had no money for rent. And someone would come and pay it. This is really good violin for this kind of a story, isn't it? And later on, we'll pass around the hat for everyone to contribute. But it's true. It was amazing. And I started thinking that what is going on here? I was consciously thinking, what is going on here? Maybe it's actually true that Krishna is taking care of us. There was no other explanation. And then this went on. Don't stop now, please. This went on for 2 weeks, every day, and we had nothing. And honestly, I was never in less anxiety about money in my life, because I didn't have any money to be in anxiety about. And then after 2 weeks, the breakage in the deposit ended, and the $250 came back to me from the apartment, and the supply ended, just like that. Then we had to pay our own rent, we had to buy our own food. Back to Chaitanya Bhagavat. Sati Devi would wonder, how will I prepare meals for 20 sannyasis? And as soon as she thought like this, someone came and delivered the necessary ingredients, and Lakshmi Devi would cook the offerings with full satisfaction. The Lord would then arrive home, and he would personally watch as the sannyasis would serve their meal. And when they were fully satisfied, he personally would bid them farewell. Thus, the merciful Lord inquired about the needs of each of his guests. And by doing so, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught the householders that their foremost duty was to serve their guests. If a householder neglects this duty, he is considered lower than the birds and the beasts. If due to his previous impious activities, he has no facility by which he can serve his guests, he should satisfy them with a straw mat, some water, sweet words, and a place to lie down to take rest. If one has nothing more to offer, he should apologize without duplicity, and then he is not guilty of neglecting his guests. If a householder happily serves his guests without duplicity and according to his ability, he is considered hospitable. Thus, to teach others, the Lord personally invited and served his guests with great respects. This is so much an important part of the Vaishnava culture, the Gaudiya Vaishnava culture especially. Atithi Bhagavan, it is called. And all those guests were most fortunate, for they received foodstuffs directly from Lakshmi Narayan. Foodstuffs that were so wonderful, they are desired even by the demigods headed by Brahma. And everyone had the opportunity to eat them. Lakshmi Devi cooked alone, without the help of her mother-in-law. Yet, she felt supremely blissful. As the fortunate mother Shachi observed the character of Lakshmi, her joy increased at every moment. Beginning from sunrise, Lakshmi would personally perform all the household chores as her religious duty. She would decorate the floor of the temple with drawings. She arranged sandalwood paste, flowers, incense, ghee lamps, and scented water for the worship of Lord Vishnu. She constantly served Tulsi Devi, and yet she served Sachi Devi even more. And seeing Lakshmi Devi's behavior, Sri Gaura Sunda, he did not comment. He did not say one word, yet he was satisfied within. As Lakshmi Narayan secretly lived in Navadvipa in this way, no one was able to recognize them. But after a few days, the independent lord desired to visit Bangladesh, East Bengal, which is now Bangladesh. And the lord told his mother, "Dear mother, I will go on a journey, but just for a few days." He then instructed Lakshmi Devi, "You should constantly serve mother." Then the Lord took some of his students and happily departed for East Bengal. Whoever saw the Lord in his travels, they could not take their eyes off him due to his handsomeness. The women said, "Glorious is she who has such a son. We offer our obeisances to her. Fortunate is she who has such a husband. The life of that chaste lady has become successful." In this way, all the ladies and men who saw the Lord as he passed by repeatedly glorified him in full satisfaction. That Lord, whom even the demigods desired to see, now mercifully appeared before the vision of everyone. And after a few days, Sri Gaura Sunda arrived at the bank of the river Padmavati. In Bangladesh, this river passes just by, does anyone know? Keturi Dam, Prem Toli. And they call it the Pado, if I can dare to imitate Bengali accent. And there, the place of Narottama Das Thakur is there, called Prem Toli, because there is a tree there where Mahaprabhu had been walking on, he had been chanting on the other side of the river with the devotees. And he began calling out, Narottam, 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 Narottam. And the devotee saw there is no one here by the name of Narottam. My dear Lord, whose name are you actually calling? Who is that person that you are calling that name? And Mahaprabhu said, there is a great person who is going to appear here, a great soul. And it is said that he deposited his prema bhakti into the river Pado. And then when Narottama came and bathed in the river, he was overcome by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then it is said that he wrote the first song of his Prarthana prayers. And what is the first song? Gauranga Bolite Hare Pula Karsari. And he immediately wanted to go see Mahaprabhu. So he arrived at the bank of the river Padma, whose waves and currents were most charming, and her fine banks were covered with forest groves. The Lord joyfully bathed in the river, and since that day, the Padmavati River became fit to sanctify the entire world. The Lord was so pleased just to see the Padmavati that he remained there for a few days just to increase her good fortune. And just as the Lord had joyfully sported in the Ganga with his students, now the Padmavati River achieved the same good fortune from the Lord as he daily sported in her waters. The news of the Lord's presence soon spread in all directions. The crest jewel of teachers, Nimai Pandit, has arrived on the banks of the Padmavati. Fortunate Brahmins arrived to welcome the Lord with gifts. And after offering their obeisances, they humbly spoke and they said, we consider ourselves most fortunate because of your arrival. Providence has brought to our doorstep that rare touchstone to whom we to go with friends and money to study under in Navadvip. They were going because Mahaprabhu had achieved such fame. But then he arrived there and they were joyous. No other teacher is like you, for you are like the incarnation of Brihaspati. Actually, they said, to compare you with Brihaspati is insufficient. You must be a portion of the Supreme Lord, for the knowledge you have attained is impossible in anyone other than the Supreme Lord. That is our firm conviction. O best of the Brahmanas, we study, we teach, and we accept only your explanations. Please accept us as your students and let the entire world sing of your glories. When the Lord heard this, he smiled and agreed to their request. And he thus enjoyed pastimes in East Bengal for some days. And due to his good fortune, the men and women of East Bengal, Bangladesh, even today engage in the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur says, anyone who accepts someone other than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Lord is fallen, is insignificant, and fit for living in hell. I therefore raise my two arms and boldly declare, Sri Gauranga is the Lord of innumerable universes, and one is free from all bondage simply by remembering him. Indeed, even by remembering his servants, one is victorious always. Giving up all evil ways, worship the feet of such a Lord whose glories are chanted throughout the entire world. In this way, Sri Gaurachandra, the Lord of Vaikuntha, happily enjoyed his scholastic pastimes in East Bengal, and people from all over East Bengal came rushing to study under Nimai Pandit. The Lord thus resided on the banks of the Padmavati River for 2 months, and he trained innumerable students to become expert scholars. Hundreds of students received titles, degrees, and returned home. And hearing about this, many new students joined. Meanwhile, in Nabadweep, Lakshmi Devi was in great distress due to separation from the Lord. She did not reveal this to anyone. She kept always engaged in the service of Mother Sachi. But after the Lord left, she gave up eating. She passed the nights alone, crying incessantly. Her heart found no relief for even a moment. And finally, she took the lotus feet of the Lord in her heart, and in deep meditation, she departed this world. She thus left the replica body on the bank of the Ganga in this world and went invisibly to the side of her Lord. Vrindavan Das Thakur says, "I am unable to describe Mother Sachi's grief. Even wood melted on hearing her crying. Since I'm unable to narrate such distressful pastimes, I have described them only in brief." All the devotees were grief-stricken on hearing about Lakshmi's disappearance, and thus they performed her last rites. After staying for several months in East Bengal, the Lord desired to return home. And when the people of East Bengal heard that the Lord was returning to Nabadweep, they offered him gifts and wealth according to their capacity. They happily gave the Lord gold and silver, water pots, asanas, colored blankets, various clothing, and what other fine items they possessed. They gave him the best of what they had. Lord Gauranga glanced mercifully at everyone as he accepted their gifts. And then he happily started for home. Many students came to Nabadweep with the Lord to continue their studies under him. And meanwhile, as the Lord was on his journey home, a pious, swan-like brahmana named Taspan Misra approached him. He was confused about the goal of life. He was confused about the goal, about the means to attain that goal of life. Moreover, he could not find anyone to clear his confusion. He silently chanted his Krishna mantra day and night. But since he was not practicing other important limbs of devotional service, he could achieve no peace. But late one night, fortunate Taspan Misra had an auspicious dream. A devata, a demigod, appeared before him and spoke very, very confidential topics. "Oh, sober Brahmana, please listen. Steady your mind and do not worry. Go to Nimai Pandit. He will explain to you the goal of life and the means for attaining it. He is not an ordinary human being. He is Naranarayan himself, and he is performing pastimes as a human being to deliver the people of the world. But do not disclose these facts to anyone, for this information is confidential even to the Vedas." When the demigod disappeared, the Brahmin awoke from his sleep and he began to cry. What good fortune, he exclaimed. And he immediately went to search out the Lord. Tapan Misra found enchanting Sri Gaurasunda sitting with his students on the bank of the Padmavati River. He immediately fell at his feet and then stood up with his hands folded. I am the most fallen wretch. Please deliver me from this material existence by your merciful glance. I am ignorant of the goal of life, and I am ignorant of the means to attain it. Kindly explain this to me. I do not find any pleasure in material sense enjoyment. Therefore, O merciful Lord, please tell me how I can find relief. And the Lord immediately replied, O Brahmana, what can be said about your good fortune? Since you wish to worship Krishna, he was chanting a Krishna mantra, that is sufficient. However, worship of the Supreme Lord is difficult to achieve. But the Lord himself personally teaches everyone the principles of religion for this age. He incarnates to establish four different religious principles in the four different ages. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then began to narrate the pastime of Krishna, in which the great Garga Muni gave the two divine babies, Krishna and Balaram, their names. The Lord said, being sent by Vasudeva, Maharshi Garga, the family priest of the Yadus, came to the house of Nanda Maharaj in Braja. And after being properly worshipped by Nanda, in order to fulfill his own desire and the prayer of Nanda Maharaj, he secretly performed the name-giving sanskara, the purificatory rite of the twice-born to both Balaram and Krishna. And while narrating their glories, he first explained the meaning of the name Balaram and then explained the meaning of the name Krishna as your, and explained the meaning of the name Krishna, saying to Nanda Maharaj, your son Krishna appears as an incarnation in every age. In the past, he assumed three different colors, white, red, and yellow, and now he has appeared in a blackish color. All such incarnations have assembled in Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, in this way, Garga Muni first revealed the names of Sri Baladev, and thereafter he revealed Sri Krishna's holy name. Garga Muni said, the Supreme Lord in the form of this boy, who in every yuga repeatedly accepts bodies of three colors, has now taken an enchanting blackish form. And due to being situated on the platform of supreme attractiveness, it should be understood that the name Krishna is his principal name. Therefore, not only to his blackest form, but he is also Krishna because he is all attractive. Because he has personally appeared after gathering together all of his expansions, he should be understood to be the original personality of Godhead, Krishna. And because he has attracted everyone, his primary name is Krishna. The means of self-realization that you are searching for, the Yuga Dharma for this age of Kali, is the congregational chanting of Krishna's holy names. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Maharaj Prickett has asked Sukadev Goswami how the Supreme Lord destroys the great faults of Kali Yuga. In answer to this question, Sukadev describes the one great quality amongst the great faults of Kali Yuga. Whatever result was obtained in Satyuga by meditating on Vishnu, in Treta Yuga by performing sacrifice, and in Dwapara Yuga by serving the Lord's lotus feet, all these can be obtained. In Kali Yuga, simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Kalo Dadhari Kirtanat. Therefore, the essence of all religious principles in the age of Kali is the sacrifice of chanting the holy name of the Lord. One cannot be delivered by following other religious principles. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, the Vedas are unable to fully describe the glories of one who chants Krishna's names day and night, even while eating and even while sleeping. Please listen, dear Misra. There is no other austerity or sacrifice prescribed in this age of Kali. One who worships Krishna is most fortunate. Therefore, now you should go back to your home and worship Lord Krishna with focused attention, giving up all karpatya, duplicity, by chanting congregationally the names of Krishna. You will attain everything. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Mahaprabhu continued, this mantra is called the Maha Mantra. It contains 16 holy names of the Lord composed of 32 syllables. My dear Tapan Misra, if you continually chant this Maha Mantra, the seed of love for Krishna will sprout in your heart. Then you will understand the goal of life and the process for achieving it. After hearing these instructions directly from the Lord's mouth, Tapan Misra, who was the best of brahmanas, repeatedly, again and again, offered his obeisances and said, please, I beg you, please allow me to live with you. Let me go with you. And to this the Lord replied, immediately go to Benares. I will meet you there. And I will explain then more about the goal of life and the process for attaining it. And immediately Tapan Misra actually left for Benares. And this is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita's meetings with Mahaprabhu in Benares. The Lord then embraced Tapan Misra, and out of ecstatic love, the hairs of Tapan Misra stood on end. He caught hold of the Lord's feet and confidentially described the incident of this dream. The Lord smiled and said, "Whatever you have dreamed is true, but don't disclose this to anyone." And then, after some time had passed, at an auspicious moment, Tahpanhesa smiled and got up and left. In this way, Lord Gauranga purified the land of Bangladesh, and then he returned home. Acting as if he was an ordinary person, the Lord returned home in the evening with a large load of gifts and wealth that he had received. He first offered obeisances at the feet of his mother, and then gave her the gifts and the wealth, the gold, everything. The Lord and his students then immediately went to the Ganga to take bath. Sati Devi immediately went to cook, although she and the other family members were all aggrieved due to the passing away of Lakshmi Devi. The Lord is the instructing spiritual master of everyone. He therefore led his students in offering repeated obeisances to the Ganga. And then, after enjoying the beauty of the Ganga and sporting in her waters for some time, the Lord returned to his home. Lord Gauranga then performed his exemplary daily worship. He sat down and ate with satisfaction. He then sat at the door of the temple room, and Nimai's family members then sat around him to speak with him. And in their company, while laughing and conversing, the Lord described how he happily spent his days in East Bengal. The Lord began heartily laughing as he imitated the accent, the pronunciation, and the way of speaking of the people of Bangladesh. I think you have to be from Calcutta to really laugh at that one. Knowing that the Lord would feel distress, his relatives would not say anything to him about the disappearance of Lakshmi Devi. And after passing some time with the Lord, they left to their respective homes. The Lord laughed, joked, sat, even chewed betel. But meanwhile, grief-stricken Mother Sachi remained out of sight inside the house. And finally, the Lord went before his mother and saw her sadness. He spoke sweetly to her. "Oh, mother, I see you are so sad. Please tell me the reason. I've successfully returned from a distant place and you should be happy. But on the contrary, I find you distressed. Please speak." Hearing her son's words, Mother Sachi looked at the ground and only wept. Overcome by grief, she was unable to reply. The Lord said, "Oh, mother, I know everything. Perhaps your daughter-in-law has met with some misfortune." To the Lord's words, everyone present replied, "Listen, O Pandit, your wife has left this world." When Lord Gauranga heard about the disappearance of Lakshmi Devi, his wife, he bent his head down and remained silent. The Lord, who is the personification of the Vedas, accepted the misery of separation from his wife and simply remained silent. And after lamenting as if an ordinary man for some time, he began to speak. "Oh, mother, why are you feeling sad? Who can check what is destined to happen? Whatever has happened by the desire of the Supreme Lord was destined. Why should you lament? Who is more fortunate and pious than a woman who leaves her body before her husband? In this way, the Lord pacified his mother and then carried on with his duties in the company of his friends. On hearing the Lord's nectarian words, everyone was relieved of their lamentation. Thus, Sri Gaura Hari, the Lord of Vaikuntha, happily enjoyed his pastimes of scholarship in Navadvipa. And accepting Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Mahaprabhu as my life and soul, I, Vrindavan Das, sing the glories of their lotus feet.